Yeah, looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT Crew.
Whoa.
SRT, they got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame, if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H.O. got that payload when he say so, what you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy, break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever, real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT, behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose, six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. Welcome to the penthouse. Welcome to another episode. Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew. I am your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. My main man is back in the building. I'm a main man. The sports superhero Hancock is in the building.
What's up, big homie? Hey, do I need to know if I need to stand up for the national anthem or anything? They cutting, folks. I really don't lose my job. So I need to know what our protocol is. What we repping?
We good.
All right,
cool. We good. You need to worry about Penny Hardaway.
Worry about Penny Hardaway?
Penny Hardaway.
No, Tubby need to worry about Penny Hardaway.
I think you can bring Todd Day with it.
Uh-huh.
Corey Beck.
Just keep it Memphis.
Just keep it Memphis.
Is Corey Beck coach?
Not that I know of.
Maybe
before they got a coaching job, they probably weren't coaching.
He'd be a shooting coach.
He can be the defensive coordinator or however Doc Rivers has.
I don't know. Shooting coaches get soup thrown at them, though.
Why stop?
Woo, boy. Wow. Is David Jones a shooting coach? Really?
Oh, he could shoot it. When he played, he could shoot it.
Only when he was open.
Well, that's a good time to shoot it.
I agree.
Oh, man. And, of course, that's the voice you hear. D-Will, the coach.
Yes, sir. What's happening? What up, crew?
What's up, man? Back in studio.
What up, Tay?
Bringing bags and all kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and
man, dropping out them bags and shirts,
yeah,
man.
Him and
we call it that pack.
That pack. You and the post office done got quite a queen.
Oh, yeah. They're my homegirl. They like me.
And, of course, the man behind the glass, G-Money.
Yo.
And that's the SRT crew. But of course, we got some guests. Obviously, in the building. Just like last week, I think we started off by saying, look at God.
Look at God.
Look at God. And she's back representing, and we talking Tax 101. So stay tuned around 7:40. Global 7, CEO, President, Shay Knight. We'll be talking taxes. How many should I claim? What's the difference between a self-employed and regular employee? Get your questions ready. We got you on the taxes. Financial literacy. Every show needs it. Well, actually, everyone needs it. To be honest. And we got some hot news coming up in about another minute or so, and our resident college basketball expert, Deshaun Tate, will be in studio as well in the second hour of the show, and just go chop it up, man. We're gonna talk a little bit about sports, as we always do each and every week. Please give us a call, 404-603-8770. You want to give us a call and get something off your chest. Follow us on social media, obviously, at SRT Radio, and the website, srtradio.com. Got a lot to talk about, and definitely our Power 5 NBA. Think y'all gonna like what we're gonna say about that. So, but with that being said, Zeke, go ahead and jump into some of these hot news.
Blade.
blazing. Scorching.
On fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Love that beat. Sports Roundtable Hot News, sponsored by The Big Easy Grill. 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. Please go ahead and check out Big Easy Grill, the best shrimp in town. And it is verified. Make sure you go there and ask for that SRT discount. 10% off any meal, $25 or more. And first question with the hot news. Of course, I got to throw it to my main man, Hancock. What we saw this past weekend, over the last 4 or 5 days, NFL combines, Deion was on fire with the defensive backs and things of that nature. But I want to ask you, stock up, stock down, after watching all of these kids perform in, what do we usually call this?
Underwear Olympics.
Underwear Olympics, yes. The Underwear Olympics. Stock up, stock down. Who you got?
Well, from my personal opinion, the guy that really made the impact was that Shaquem Griffin.
Okay.
I mean, a guy that didn't even get invited to the Senior Bowl. We already know his limitations with one arm, but this kid.
One hand.
Yeah, I'm kind of shortchanging him a little bit.
Yeah, he got his whole arm.
One hand. But he plays like he got three arms.
I agree.
I mean, you know, the kid is a football player. So, to me, his stock is up. Falk stunk up the joint. That wasn't the guy. Who was I talking about? I'm sorry. Bradley Chubb was a guy that lost money, from what I hear.
Okay.
But, you know, the thing about this is in the eye of the beholder. I put it like that. And that's why I kind of get sidetracked here, because if you look at something one way, then the national media, you can take two different scouts and they tell you this guy had a great combine and one had a bad combine.
Right.
But from what I saw, Saquon Barkley did well. They say Josh Allen, I guess he threw the ball pretty good. He's the quarterback du jour. Let's just be honest. He and what's the kid out of South Carolina? So, USC.
Sam Darnold.
Those two are the cream of the crop, is what everybody's saying. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But your original question to me, Shaquem Griffin was the jewel of the whole thing.
Right.
So I'll go with him as being stalker. Arden Key had a good combine, so he'll probably go up some boards.
Right. That's the kid. The
LSU.
LSU kid,
right.
Yeah.
So those are the guys that kind of stood out to me.
Any stock down?
Yeah, like I said, Chubb's stock was down in North Carolina. Josie Jewell didn't look too good. He's a linebacker that in the mold of the Carolina Panther guy.
Right.
So his stock is down. He's an Iowa prospect, linebacker from Iowa, and didn't do too well in the combine. So, you know, this thing is really overrated to me, because you really don't know how these kids are going to pan out. You know, being out here running, you have to go by your measurables and see the speed or the agility and whatever. But until they put the pads on, you really don't know what you have, to be honest with you.
But how much stock do you actually put in it? Because my thing is, just put the tape in.
Yeah, and tape can work a lot. I mean, we've seen some guys come out and we think they're going to be great football players at the next level, and they're not paying out.
Right.
So, I don't know, man. I just think that sometimes guys mature at a different level at a different time. You know, if a team can stay with a guy, maybe he'll pan out. But sometimes they don't have the patience to pan out, or it's the wrong team that you go to and it's not a fit. So, the combine can I don't know if it's more of just keeping the NFL relevant while the season
is done.
More of what it is, just making somebody know that, okay, the NFL is still around. Because it really doesn't tell you a lot. I think, guys, the film is really what gets you anyway. So this combine thing, you know, if you're going to base what you're going to do about drafting on just the combine, I don't think that's going to work for a team anyway.
All right. Question number two, or story number two. Kirk Cousins say he might allegedly 3 years, $91 million was the offer that Minnesota is willing to pay.
Oh, Lord.
So my question with the Jets, the Vikings, and the Broncos, and I think the Broncos are kind of out now. So D-Will, the better fit to win or the better fit to make the money?
I can answer both questions with the same answer. The Minnesota Vikings. They the ones who offered them 3 years, 91 fool, and they the ones got the best team surrounding him. This, like this year, they had the number one defense in the league. They made it all the way to the NFC Championship game with Case Keenum as their quarterback. So
right.
He can't stink it up much more than Case Keenum. They will have Dalvin Cook coming back off the ACL injury. He was a rookie last year, led the league in rushing prior to the injury. So getting him back will be his security blanket, something he never had in Washington, was a bell cow running back. So that will help him also. And like I say, Minnesota wins off defense. They don't win off their quarterback play, obviously, because Case Keenum led them all the way to the NFC Championship this year. So the best fit for Kirk Cousins would be the Minnesota Vikings, but all that to the side, how weak is this free agent class when the cream of the crop is Kirk Cousins? We're talking about Kirk Cousins getting 3 years, $91 million.
All of it guaranteed.
All guaranteed. Do you know what the first all guaranteed contract in the NFL was? Do y'all remember who that was? It was Cam Newton, first year when he got selected number one overall. He had, y'all know how much he had guaranteed? $24 million. That was his contract. 3 years. Now we're talking 3 years, $91
million? Right.
For Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, that was the first year of the new
rookie scale. Slot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thanks to
Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford. Yeah, Bradford stole money for like 3 years.
He got sixty plus million. So, right. But yeah, like I say, that was the first all guaranteed contract. But the first all guaranteed contract was only $24 million. Now here we are, what, 7 years later, and we're talking $91 million. All guaranteed for Kirk Cousins? I can understand if we were talking Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, somebody, Drew Brees. He's a free agent.
But doesn't that say how stressed the quarterback position is in the NFL?
It's only 32 jobs, and we can't find 32 people.
You can't find them. So do you overpay, though? But he's more than, well, it's the market. It's what the market bears.
So that's going to kill the market for the Atlanta Falcons. Let's keep this just to bring it on bound here to the local. If Kirk Cousins is getting $90 million guaranteed, and Jimmy Garoppolo just got $150 million, what are we gonna pay Matt Ryan?
Well, Matt got to take a hometown discount.
He's not. Would you take a hometown discount when these type cats are getting this type money?
Well, if he wants to win.
Listen, the window is only 2 years with these Falcons anyway. So my thing is, I don't think he's taking a hometown discount. Would you? You only got a 2 year window.
No, I wouldn't take it.
That's my point. He's not taking it.
But I'm just saying, I don't know how he's going to not do it.
But
he got to keep the other guys on the team. He can't play by himself.
If you listen to what I'm saying, it's only a 2 year window. So within those 2 years, they don't have any other major free agents coming up.
Tevin Coleman.
Well, you can replace Tevin Coleman.
Deion Jones, Beasley.
But that's 2 years. That's going to be two years out. That's 2 years out. So you see what I'm saying? So if Matt doesn't take the hometown discount, that's going to affect the Falcons in 2 years. But for the next 2 years, that contract won't hurt as bad.
I see what you're saying.
So he's not. My point is, he's not taking a discount. He better go get that money, because he's not going to get it 2 years from now, because the championship window is going to be close.
But when we look at the only team that's successful in this era of free agency, it's really New England. And what they do is get their best player, a la than like San Antonio, to take less money.
Mm-hmm.
And it structures everything else.
Sad, man. Sad when we're talking Kirk Cousins getting $90 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Story number three, and I'm pretty sure G probably loved this question.
What up, Maceo?
Kobe wins an Oscar. and he had on a. He was looking pretty sharp. You know, it's hard to kind of look at Kobe without that jersey on. But he had that tuxedo on and went up there and grabbed the Oscars. And all right, G, your thoughts on Kobe winning the Oscar?
I still haven't seen the short film, but it's good that he did win the Oscar because even though it was about basketball, it was interesting to see him doing something outside of basketball because that's what he's been about his entire life.
Everything looked kind of awkward.
Yeah, so that, I mean, I was surprised, but also at the same time not surprised when he said it felt better than winning a championship because he accomplished something outside of basketball.
Yeah.
Basketball is connected to it. It was about basketball, but he wasn't out there playing,
right,
which is what he has always been, is a basketball player. But to do something else, I thought that was great, and it's probably greater for him for his state of mind. The only thing that I didn't like about it, about the whole thing, was that people made it an excuse to bring up what happened 15 years ago. To where, you know, we have the Me Too movement, the Time's Up movement.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, even if it happened in the past before all these movements started, yeah, you're still going to be a target for that.
Right.
And even though, I mean, you know, whatever happened at that time, you know, who knows exactly what happened except for those two people.
Exactly.
But the time to bring it up now, it's completely out of context, and it's not and you can't use the Oscars to validate a movement. It's got to be the actions of that movement rather than trying to make an award validate something. It can't be someone who was ever accused of sexual assault. They have to have this perfect resume and background to win anything, and that this wasn't the platform to really do that.
I agree. Any other more thoughts on Kobe winning the Oscar?
Congratulations, Kobe. Let them haters hate. They had Harvey Weinstein up under their nose for over 30 years and ain't nobody say nothing. But now all of a sudden, Harvey Weinstein get caught. You want to call out Kobe. Man, sit your behind down. Let that man live. Kobe, get your Oscar. And I want you to know, melt it down, Kobe. That's what you should do. You should melt it down and let them know you don't care nothing about their Oscar because you got rings.
No, he got to show it off, though. He's got to put it next to the MVP, next to the finals MVP. He's got to put it right up there. Put it right in the middle of the mantle.
And he should put it under a picture of Denver, Colorado.
Wow.
There you go.
Well, I want to congratulate him on getting the Oscar. That's a major accomplishment. He can put that right up there with 3-6 Mock. So, it is what it is. But just to show what, you know, Kobe's not even worried about basketball right now. You know, he's trying to do other things. You can see him trying to expand his...
He's a venture capitalist.
Yeah, so he's expanding the brand, doing things outside basketball. I'm sure he could be on some of these shows speaking about it.
Oh, yeah,
that's not his thing. So just to see him venturing out and doing things that are unexpected and succeeding at it, congratulations.
All right, congratulations, Kobe. I think this will bode very, very well, like if he needed it, you know, to his resume. You know, I think his resume speaks for itself. Speaking of the hometown Falcons, do have a question. What player or players in free agency would you pick if you were the Falcons? Han, we'll start with you.
Well, I said this, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
And I was talking about the tight end with Philadelphia. I think he's the guy that you target.
Trey Burton.
Former quarterback at Florida who's grown into the position.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would fit well in what the Falcons do. He's a pass catcher. You wouldn't have to worry about that part of it.
Pass throw.
Right. And he can, I mean, what I'm saying is he can do some things other than just be a stiff at tight end. We need somebody that can make plays. So I'm looking at him. I think the Falcons should go after him.
Speaking on tight end, why not Jimmy Graham?
He costs so much. Why?
You can get Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham will take $18 million. You could get him on a 3-year contract at $18 million. Give him $6 million per year. That's the Falcons can afford that.
I see it, but I think you can get just as much production out of this kid.
That's hard to say because we know what Jimmy Graham does. He's proven. So why not go get a proven commodity that you can afford?
Did you see Trey when he took over when Urs was out that week?
Yeah, I did. But you know, like
you think
I say,
that was just scheme that people didn't recognize who he was.
And you know how we don't. What you say? We ain't got no tape on him yet. You don't know. But that's different in football because regardless of who's at that position, you may roll coverage to a certain person, and they probably didn't roll coverage to him. And even if he comes to the Falcons, they're not going to roll coverage to him. So he probably can still be productive. Mm-hmm. But with somebody like Jimmy Graham, you know what you're getting in the red zone. And what was the Falcons, one of their biggest mishaps this past season was red zone touchdowns. They didn't score in the red zone. And that's what Jimmy Graham does. So at that price tag, even I would be even willing to go up to 3 years, $21 million, give him seven a year. Because they can't afford it. Now, I wouldn't go get double digits for a Jimmy Graham or something like that. But what you don't want is for him to go back to where they're talking about him going, which is your division rival and the New Orleans Saints, who just won a division last year.
I hear you.
So that's going to be tough.
I understand the point, and that's a good point to keep him away from your rival. But I don't know. I don't know what it is about Jimmy Graham. The lust is kind of off of him for me.
It was Russell Westbrook. Russell.
Yeah, I can see that maybe, but... I don't know. Maybe I'm more high on Trey Burton because I think he's a blossoming. I just think he needs the right situation.
I know exactly what you're thinking. It's almost to the point where we talked about the Gary Harris, what's the kid?
McCallum. Those type people.
Somebody on another team that if he goes to another team, he can be the man that no one else sees. Right.
Maybe.
And he said that's what you said about AD.
True, it took about 5 years, but he there now. Same thing with Paul George. He was a little early on, but he there now.
Yeah.
So I might like the Trey Burton.
Yeah. I think Burton would be, I'm telling you.
But the thing about it, he's still young.
He's still young.
So the 2 or 3 years, but your point, we only got 2 to 3 years.
It's a 2-year window. It's a 2-year window. We don't have 3 years because in 3 years, everybody's up.
Yeah, but look at now. You put him in the offense. You got the two running backs here in Atlanta with Freeman and Coleman. You got Julio on the other side, out there on the side. You
What's
got Sunu.
You need a, we need
you
a slot.
You got a tight end like this kid. I'm telling you, you can find a slot somewhere, I'm sure.
Because we got rid of Taylor Gabriel. He's gone.
But see, this guy works the middle of the field, can do those type of things that you need.
But my thing is, I just like proven commodities.
I understand.
I like proven commodities. Yeah. And for a price tag that the Falcons can afford, why not?
What about... what's the kid out of Denver? Is it Cody Latimer?
Cody Latimer.
Mm-hmm.
Think he'll be a great, great replacement for Gabriel. Somebody under the radar, still kind of fast and stretch the field.
Get him for a cheap price.
A cheap price.
With Falcons only got, 15 to 19 million in salary cap space this year right now?
I think it's up to be close up to 30.
But it's not this season.
He might. Denver might pay to keep him because they're most likely to lose Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh, well. Yeah. Well, we'll see. And I do like Ed Dixon. I like Ed Dixon as a tight end. I mean, I like Trey, too. But if you got a 2-year window, you know, someone veteran, proven commodity, I think.
Well, it's not like, and I keep hearing you say proven commodity, but it's not like Burton is a rookie.
Yeah, true.
No,
I agree. Yeah, he's not.
I'm not against Burton. Plus he went.
But also consider that. Do you think that the Falcons will even use the tight end in their offense?
Oh yes.
Or is it just a matter of they need someone who can catch?
Yeah, they just didn't have it.
You don't have nobody. Right? Because you can go back to Jacob Tammy. He was very effective in this offense.
Exactly.
Tony Gonzalez was overly effective in this offense. So they use the tight end. It's just when you got Tololo and what's the boy name? He was on my fantasy team. Lord bless his soul. He's horrible. Horrible.
They both from Stanford, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they need to quit drafting Stanford.
But they got another Stanford guy on their big board now. 6'6 tight end.
Okay.
Tololo was 6'7. So size don't make – size. Does size matter?
Maybe they don't want to use – they don't want to use the tight end. Like, they just use – at Stanford, they block. They don't catch passes.
Yeah, they don't catch passes. They block. They block for the running back.
Well, Hooper can't block though.
Yeah, because he's too small.
And they released the one that actually did block. They actually used him as a tackle in one game. Yeah. You know, a couple of years ago. But anyway, let's go do it for the hot news when we get back. Got to take a quick break. When we get back, of course, we got the NBA Power 5 rankings. And the SRT crew did its thing. So you listen to the SRT Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100. We'll be right back.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Sports Roundtable.
Did y'all see the phone call that Jeff Fisher made to Nick Foles when he had to cut him?
No, I missed.
The phone call was, we have to release you. We have to let you go. And I hope you land on your feet. So, if you Nick Foles, how do you respond now? Z, how you go trolling?
My first thought would be to, like, I would be tempted to, like, get my Super Bowl ring fitted for my middle finger.
Go ahead, G.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM. It's this simple. What teams are playing the best and what player is playing the best. It's the SRT NBA Power Rankings.
All right, welcome to the SRT NBA Power Rankings brought to you by Real Talk Tees. Visit Real Talk Tees at realtalktees.bigcartel.com. We have many shirts already designed that you can choose from, or you can make a custom order for yourself. All right, so NBA Power Rankings. Week 3, I think this is, and give you the top 5 teams regardless of conference and how they're performing according to our expert analysis. Number 5, entering the top 5 for the first time, is the Portland Trail Blazers. Number 4, the Boston Celtics. Number 3, the Toronto Raptors. Number 2, the Golden State Warriors. And number 1, once again, is the Houston Rockets. And for MVP, we named our top 3 players who are likely to win MVP based on how they're playing right now. And number 3, we have LeBron James. Number 2, Kevin Durant. And number 1, unanimously, James Harden. So I had some questions for our panel as far as why they made the selections that they did. So I'll start with you, D. Will. You had Cleveland in your top 5. They are the number 3 seed, but they are 7 games behind Boston for the second spot. Is LeBron enough?
Is LeBron enough? Man, I hate that. I wish we was on a uncensored station, because I want to say it's a pig's pork. Because, yes, he's enough. You dig what I'm talking about? He has been enough for 7 straight years. There's nothing that's going to change that now. I understand Boston is 7 games ahead. Boston won the East last year. That didn't affect them. They almost swept Toronto last year. That didn't affect them. And both of those teams are essentially the same team. So, yes, LeBron is enough. Now, the reason I still had them in my top 5, because I truly believe once it's turn-up time, LeBron James will turn up. Okay, he's going to turn up, and there's nobody who can beat him. He's too good for Toronto, and he's too good for Boston.
But I believe, at this time, you feel like they're one of the top five teams in the NBA.
Well, yeah, I do. As currently constructed, are they playing the best? They look good the other night. I know they lost 3 or 4, but they came and won.
Who they play?
It don't matter, man. Listen.
See, they played Detroit.
Listen, you got to play somebody. You got to play who's on your schedule. They lost 3 or 4, and you say they look bad. Who did they lose to?
They lost to Denver.
Okay. They shouldn't have lost to them. You see
they
what I'm saying?
Denver
they
lost again.
To Washington.
They're playing Denver again.
They shouldn't
they
have lost
Denver
to them.
Tonight.
They shouldn't have lost to them.
Right.
So my point is, if they would have beat those teams, you'd be like, oh, they beat Denver. Oh, they beat Washington. So my point is, you got to play who's on your schedule.
But they're not doing a good job of the teams. But let me ask you this. This is not even about that. Let me ask you this. Do you not worry about all the upheaval, the turnover that they've had? Because
I'm gonna tell you
this
what
is the
me.
Third time this year that they've had to start really a new squad, new whole setup.
And I am projecting a little bit towards the future because I do see Kevin Love coming back, even though
he's having mental problems.
That's what I'm saying. His Players Tribune article.
I mean,
really,
I'm not trying to make fun
yeah,
of it.
Make light
saying.
Of it, but his play that concerns
that's a
me.
Issue.
That concerns me. But my thing is, when you look at that, I believe the team is gonna wrap their arms around him. And that's gonna allow him to play better. Because just 2 weeks ago, DeMar DeRozan came out with an article in the same publication talking about the same thing.
Right.
So LeBron's gonna beat them because he ain't right neither. So my point is, I believe LeBron can get right, and I believe with the where they're currently constructed, if they were still constructed the way they were, I wouldn't have them there. But with, I believe it's just going to take a little time to get some cohesiveness. Now,
what about the superstar aspect of it? Because they don't have when LeBron
that's
is
all you
a
need.
Superstar, but he,
that was
so
the question.
He just
that's all you
so
need.
He just can cover he all
can,
ills.
Yes, he can. He's been doing it for the last 15 years. He's been taking mediocre teams, except when he was in Miami. He's been taking mediocre teams to the finals.
Okay.
We've seen him do it before.
Do you think that? And I'm because this is just to me. He's having to work so hard to drag this team down the stretch to really make them try to even get a good seed.
He's always had to done that. He's always had to do that, though.
But he has someone to rely on, what I'm saying. He's taking everything out of him to win ball games.
And I'm going to tell you,
I don't think that's going to hurt down the stretch.
I don't think so, because we've seen him do it. The thing that I think is going to hurt them down the stretch, coaching. I believe Tyronn Lue is incapable of putting together the pieces and making the moves that need to be made in order for them to win. You see, I don't believe it's a personnel issue, because I think the personnel fits. I believe it's a fact of him taking the personnel that's on the court and him being able to put them in the best situation to win.
All right, G, it's on you.
Sorry, G.
All right, no worries.
It gets good, G. That was a great question.
All right, so, H.O., in your top three players, you had Damian Lillard, who has been playing well. Portland's been playing well. What do you think are his chances of winning MVP? And just to add a little bit, to even make All-NBA first team.
Well, I don't think he'll win MVP this year. But it's to come if he continues to play at this pace. Even with a LaMarcus Aldridge and McCollum, they weren't even as high as 4, I don't think. To have them in the 3 spot right now with, and I can pretty much bet that most people can't even name the starting 5 for Portland.
I can. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we do. Obviously.
Me.
But to do what he's done. D-Wiz said he cried to the All-Star team, but
he did.
He is playing out of his mind. I think if he continues to play at this pace, it will have some people thinking maybe next year, if you can get to that 3 spot and maybe upset a top 2 seed this year, he'll be in the conversation for future references.
He needs to go to the East. Somebody needs to make a play to get him in the Eastern Conference.
That could be the answer.
That's the problem. If I'm New York, I'm doing whatever I can. Somebody like that on a big stage, put him in the guard.
Yeah. And now, to that point, I think Dame Lillard and AD are just in bad situations. market wise.
Yeah, exactly. Market wise.
Conference wise. There's too many hot teams. Yeah. I mean, you got some stars in the West.
If Portland is three, I think New Orleans is four.
There's four.
Yeah, there's four. Yeah.
But neither one of them can win. Nobody gives them any credence or any chance to win.
It's really Houston, Golden State, and everyone else.
Yeah, because it's like a, 13-game difference between two and three?
Yeah.
And I tell him, G, I know Big H.O. put him in his top three MVP. I gave him honorable mention. I gave my top three, which was the top three that he gave,
right.
And I gave him honorable mention. I had to mention.
You gave,
Damon Lillard.
That was half a point.
I gave it to
him. But it wasn't enough to be the top three.
Right.
I had the brow as mine.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, the brow coming.
And I would have, but I looked at the record.
Hold on, you had the brow in three?
I got him at four, right behind.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's what I had.
I looked at the record and I say, well, Dame Lillard is not even 6 feet, and he got his team.
Oh, he's 6 feet now. Come on, don't.
He's like 6'3".
He ain't Isaiah Thomas.
He's like 6'3".
Yeah.
For the month of February.
I was trying to market my
Yeah,
point.
you were trying to wedge that thing.
For the month of February,
yeah.
The Brown, 35-13, 2.2 blocks a game. For the last seven games, he's shooting 53% from the field. Balled.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
I got him at four incoming at KD.
Hey,
Well, I just want to get to the next my next question.
No, go ahead. You got it.
Well, you had Portland. I did too. I had Portland in my top five.
Mm-hmm.
What's impressing you about Portland and the run they've made? I believe they've won eight in a row.
Right. Yes.
You can look at Dame. Dame has kind of like put the team on his shoulders.
Hello.
Really.
Hello.
He has. But they've won their past six games. Portland's allowed 98 points per game over 100 possessions for the last in this winning streak.
Right.
So, to me, the defense has turned up enough. Now, you have to go back and look at who they played, but
the people on their schedule.
Yeah, they play in the West.
Holding people down on their schedule. 98 points. That's pretty good in that 100 possession thing. So I think just looking at the way they're playing basketball right now, you know, sometimes it's like you get kind of caught up with the people at the top, and you don't pay attention, and those teams start to build momentum. So the two teams that right now looking like you might not want to face in the playoffs is the Pelicans and the Blazers.
Now, how many guys or how many people had Portland in the top three before the season started?
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, only reason they're in the top three now is because Kawhi Leonard's not playing and San Antonio is sliding.
And Oklahoma City can't play together like I told
exactly.
You.
They still have no
they
have
that's
no
the
continuity.
Best rec team in the world.
But to my point, everybody probably had Portland 6, 7, or 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or out.
Right. Yeah.
You know, especially with Aldridge not playing and then they traded Crab to Brooklyn or wherever he went. And, you know, and then they get, and they really have no, they don't have any
the thing
players
is,
that you can attach
that
to.
That you really don't
it's
know.
That, it's that back, it's that
the backcourt is what it is.
Yeah.
They need to get more out of Nurkic.
Yeah, they
if
do.
They can get a little more out of Nurkic, they could kind of.
And he's capable.
Yeah, he is. He can play. But I just don't think they have enough wing. They don't have that wing that they need.
Crab was that. I'm going to tell you, the most.
Evan Turner.
Well, that's where I was going. He's the most disappointing number two pick in the last couple of years because he's a bust.
Marvin Williams.
Well, now that's going back.
Yeah, I know, but yeah.
You know, but if you want to talk about a bust, that is a bust because he should be that wing, that point forward that could do a lot once that ball goes away from Dame or McCollum.
Yeah.
I
think the bench has helped him out a little bit also when you look at Shabazz Napier has come in and solidified the backup point guard role. So, and they get a lot out of Chief. He shoots it well from the wing. If you lay off him in the corner, he knocks that down.
How much credit do you get to Terrence Stotts?
A lot.
I mean, because when you think his name never comes up when we talk about coach of the year,
I mean,
things
you
got
to give him some credit, but man, you got Dame, you just kind of turn him loose.
Oh yeah, that's one of them rolling ball out
that's
there.
That's the thing when you coaching, stay out the way. A lot
stay
of times,
out the way.
I think we put him in that same category as Dwayne Casey. We just really don't believe in him, no matter what his team does.
Yeah, and I'm changing my mind on Dwayne. I think I will vote for him for coach of the year.
I can't blame Dwayne Casey. I'm still gonna blame those two quote-unquote stars that they got that it fold every year
they
in the
fold.
Playoffs.
But they, like I said, y'all watch the Wakandans they got. The Wakandans can play that they have.
They do.
I'm telling you. Siakam and Adebayo, and whatever his name. I'm telling you.
They have Ibaka, too.
Right? Yeah, Ibaka.
And Ibaka.
Hey, he's saying, he Wakanda. He's talking about he's a Wakanda.
They got the Wakandas, baby. And I'm telling you, they come to play.
All right, Zico.
Wakandas.
All right, well, that's going to do it for our NBA Power Rankings. And we'll be back next week and see if anything's changed.
There you go. Appreciate that, G. Oh, boy, y'all.
I like might move KD back to my number one if he go out for 30.
I think, man, I'm telling you, AD is rising for me. I ain't going to
be. Yeah, he got hurt. He got hurt last night, came back, still gave him 41.
Man,
he
was shooting a three like layups.
But I understand and I agree. But, man, Dame only has two games with 20 or less, with 20 points.
Or less.
And he only has one game of 20, one game of 26. Mm. Everything else is over 30.
Yeah, he's been balling.
Over like the last 8 games.
Yeah, he's been mentioning. So we'll see. All right, now it's time to really get into some good stuff. So all of y'all people who need some financial literacy, please tune in. Get your questions ready because I do have her in the building once again in the penthouse. Joining the SRT crew, and it is no other than Shay Knight, the owner, CEO, president of Global 7. Welcome back to the penthouse.
Live hand clap.
What's going on, fellas?
There you go. All right. What's happening?
Nothing. I'm just enjoying myself listening to you guys.
Hey. All right. So tonight we got Tax 101, right?
Yes. Tonight we are speaking about taxes. So shoot your tax questions.
All right. So first of all, let's start off with how important are taxes? Let's keep it real because we've Wesley Snipes, Jermaine Dupri, who else?
Grant, Al Capone.
Al Capone.
Well.
Mike Tyson.
Donald Trump.
Oh,
did I?
He don't count, though. Okay. Thank you.
Right.
All right. So, how important are taxes? Just to let everybody know, hey, this what can happen.
I mean, it's definitely important that you file. I mean, even if you break even, like I said last week, your objective is if you owe a lot, you want to break even. Worrying about a return or refund is not what you should be worrying about, because you will get charges for tax evasion if you're not reporting your taxes. I mean, you can't make money and think that they don't know about it. Every time you deposit money in the bank, that creates a trail of income. People don't even know that.
Mm.
Really, the bank basically reports that money based on your Social Security number or your tax ID if it's a business account. So they're aware, even if you don't report anything else, you got $30,000 in the bank through these deposits. That's income for you. So you need to file.
What if you don't use a traditional bank?
Any financial institution has to report, though.
Gotcha. Because I use prepaid cards.
Well, I'm not really sure what banks they're linked up with, but at some point, if they can pay you, it's through a financial backing. So they have to report what money is coming.
So I thought it had to be like $10,000 when they had to report to the IRS.
Well, technically not. Anytime you put any money in the bank, they know how much money. Because you got to think about it. It's not just based on a monthly basis. It's overall. Mm-hmm. Most people are going to have $10,000 in deposits throughout the year, even if it's just from work.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying that one lump sum.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But you said it can accumulate to that.
Absolutely. But, I mean, even in a lump sum, they're automatically going to report it. If you go and win money in a casino and it's over a certain amount, they're going to report it. $3,500 in that. But when you're having a business, whether you think you're hiding money or not, you can't hide it when you're depositing. If you get paid on a contract and they pay you, you deposit that check, that's income that you've created for that business. So it doesn't matter what the dollar amount is.
What about gifts from, so like if somebody gives you money to deposit in your account?
Well, they can do a letter of gifting.
I mean, what amount would cause the government or IRS or
anything over $5,000.
Anything over $5,000.
I mean, you want to explain where it came from, especially if you don't have any income or you're not working.
Okay.
So I got a question off Facebook Live, and it says, is this the reason that companies make you go direct deposit nowadays?
Well, the reason they want to do the direct deposit is because they're making interest off your money. They already have a pre-selected date as to when they're going to pay you. So all the way up until that time, your money's sitting there, and they're making interest all the way up to the very second it's transferred. It's an easier way for them to disperse it to you. cuts out a paper trail with paper checks, but direct deposit is more benefit to them than you.
Right. Oh, wow.
Mm. Oh, your money is shuffled around. When you invest your money in a bank, in any type of banking product, if you invest your money in anything, your 401k is being traded as you're sleeping. So if you get your statement in 3 months and it, you like, last month I had an increase, last quarter, this quarter, all my money's gone, but your money's being traded. Every dollar that's in the bank is being traded. Whether you make a dollar off of it or not, doesn't matter.
Mm. All right, so since we're talking about taxes, yep. let's get straight and then make sure we get it clear. Okay. What are the actual tax deadline? Because I see people on Crown Road, April 15th, Crown Road at the post office, everybody right. jam-packed, trying okay. to mail them taxes off.
Right.
I mean, it's April 15th.
Okay, so let me give you the differences so you understand clearly what that is. If you are an individual filing taxes for your job or your self-employed business, you must be filed by April 15th if you owe. If you are receiving a refund, you don't owe any money to them, so you can file. You can wait 3 years to file your taxes as long as you don't owe the IRS. If you're a business, and I mean incorporated business, you have a March 15th deadline to get your taxes in.
Oh, Tweezy say April 17th. My bad.
Oh, well, Tweezy. Was the 15th? Did something change?
Yeah, okay. I always heard 15th.
I didn't know.
I ain't finna push it. Yeah. Right. I ain't pushing it to the 17th, Tweezy.
All right.
Well, let me ask you about the IRS. Is the IRS a part of the government or are they an employee of the government? Or are they just associated with it? I don't
know. He's trying to get you shot.
No, no, seriously, because I've heard that they're not really.
I don't know. I'm not going to answer that. We're going to take that one offline. Yeah, Google that.
That sounds like a Trump answer.
Look, right.
That sounds like something they say when I ask.
Exactly. Ask Trump.
I do say
ask hashtag 45. Don't ask
the 15th is on a Sunday.
Okay, so that's why you got the additional days.
Oh, okay.
That's why. Oh, she said. Generally it's the 15th if you have a business. So understand between a business and self-employment, that's two different things.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad that's a great segue for my question. I have a business.
Okay.
And I'm not incorporated. I'm sole proprietor.
Okay, so self-employment.
So exactly. So what is the difference between me going LLC or staying a sole proprietor?
Well, the sole proprietor LLC kind of almost touches on the same lines. Actually, the government, the banks, lenders, they see those as pass-through companies as opposed to an incorporated business because your LLC can be tied to your personal finance. If someone sues you in business, they can come after your money because there's members involved. But if you're an incorporated business, you can sue the company, but you can't sue me.
Personally. So I need to get incorporated.
Yeah, you need to get incorporated. Come see me. I got you.
Yeah, I know that.
I got you.
It's going down.
I got you on that. I'm going to take care of you.
So what we get this question. Well, I hear this question all the time. Can I claim a dog? If I babysit, if I keep the kids all the time, or some people just claim kids.
They sell them.
I mean, even to the point where you got joint custody, which is it's the thing now. 6 months with pops, 6 months with moms. Who claims the kid?
Well, that's going to have to get worked out between the parents. Because, I mean, you will claim them for the timeline they live with you. Let me explain the difference in your question because it's two questions.
Okay, right.
Do not, and I said this last week, do not claim children that you do not take care of on a regular basis. Because now the FOC, and for those that don't know what that is, that's friend of court. I don't know if that's here in Georgia, but the people that take child support out your check, they're starting to link up with government agencies now. The state offices to find out, are you a guardian? Do you have guardianship? Why are you claiming this child? So for all the people that are having returns and refunds supposedly held up and you're wondering where your money is, you're probably being audited because you claimed somebody's kid 2-3 years ago that has no affiliation with you. You claim a child and the mother's on welfare. You don't think that's going to link up with the state and the government offices?
Yeah.
They're paying benefits for this child that you claimed for 12 months.
Mm.
That can land you in jail.
Yeah.
Let's skip the fine. Jail time. That's felony. Mm-hmm. fraud.
Yeah, government not going
to
pay twice.
But as far as the split up on the parent situation, it's really going to be up to who's claiming at first. I'm not totally sure. You can probably Google that if you both can claim that child 6 months or however much you have them. Legally, you can do that because you're both custodial parents. You sharing custody. That's not illegal. You can claim any individual that you take care of, not a child that's not yours. To get that EIC, well, here's a tip. It's not even in existence anymore. So all the people that were running around trying to get a kid to claim, you don't even have to worry about it because the earned income credit is gone.
Right.
2017 is the last filing year you'll get it. Now it'll be a family tax credit. Mm-hmm. So all those $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 checks, you better invest it wisely because you're not going to get it again.
So about this new tax thing.
It's not new. It's hashtag 45 that put that in place.
So is this going to be beneficial to what income, what people's income?
Not us. Look, if that answers your question.
Just for rich people, right?
Yeah, well, pretty much. The bigger corporations will get a bigger tax break. Mm-hmm.
And then this tax break only lasts for a certain amount of time for the public, and then it's only for the corporations that it continues on.
Right. Well, they can change, but they change every 2 years. They put in new laws every 2 years. So just when you start getting implemented to doing things one way, there's something already being discussed and in place.
But this plan is set up for how many years now?
Should be two.
For 2 years?
Yep.
I got a question from Facebook Live. If you are paying child support,
okay,
is that considered taking care of the child even though he doesn't live with you?
Absolutely. Now, that's an issue a lot of people ask me. You have to get with the person you have a child with, because that's an argument. One says, I take this child 24 hours a day, every day, and one can visibly show that they're paying child support.
Because so now, deposit.
Exactly, but that's just going to be a matter of who files first. Mm. Oh, it's always like that, because if you think about it, the child support court system is only put in place to be the liaison between the parents that can't, you know, come to some type of agreement amicably. If I have to step in and disperse money to you, I'm going to take a fee out of this money, and you're going to get either lump sums or a monthly stipend out of this person's paycheck. Now, yes, I took care of my child all year long, but they live with you. And more than likely, whoever they live with is going to file first.
Exactly.
Now, if you have the social, you have the right to file. So it's the first come, first serve basis.
It's a race to H&R Block.
Absolutely. Wow. But I've had guys come to me that have actually went and fought that. Literally. I mean, you can even ask for some stipulation in court. Listen, I take care of my child. Here's all my pay stubs. Can we do some kind of joint filing? Or can I file 1 year and you file 1 year? But try to work that out with the person that you made that child with.
Do you get a tax credit paying child support?
Well, it depends on your income, but everyone should get the child tax credit because you're actually taking care of another individual. Right. Absolutely.
All right, so.
And it's only $1,000 anyway.
Oh, really? Okay. All right, one more D and I'm going to let you ride.
Oh, go ahead.
Tax scams.
No. Okay.
Can you give us what to avoid or some kind of tax scam to stay away from in your 25 years of business? What can we look for as far as staying away from tax scams?
I mean, you're going to get people that are going to promise you, oh, I can get you all this money back. I mean, okay, technically speaking, we all know, and if you don't know, taxes is a numbers game. So if you're good at numbers, you can always finagle them to work in your favor. The problem is, legitimately, let's be real about it. You go snatch somebody off the street that hasn't worked in 10 years, and we're going to create a return for you and put this self-employment on you to create a return so you can get a refund. Do you not think at some point, even if it slides through that year, that the IRS is not going to go back and scrutinize that return? Because you didn't file anything the 10 years prior to that, and all of a sudden you made X amount of dollars and you got this return coming. People lie to you because they're going to get their fee out of it. Once they're out of it with their fee, let me say this clearly. If I prepare your taxes, even if there's some type of mistake, you brought this information to me. My job is to prepare it for you. Once it's filed, if you lied, they're coming after you. I may get some small penalty possibly, but if I don't know this and you're a customer, I'm only going by what you tell me. So even with the tax companies, if you're going to go to someone and they tell you, I can hook up this for you, I don't even like that word, but okay, you better know what you're doing. Because it will come back on you. And you're the one looking at tax fraud. They'll get in some trouble too, but you're the one that they're going to be scrutinizing. To avoid anybody saying what they can give you when you know unrealistically it's not true. You know doggone well you didn't make that money, so don't even lie about it.
All right, D.
All right, I got a couple questions off Facebook Live. They're blowing it up. I got, can you claim a niece or a nephew that you take care of during the summer months only?
Yep, you can claim for the months that you've taken care of if you have some type of verification stating that, mm-hmm. whether it be a letter of guardianship temporary from the parent, mm-hmm. the custodial parent. Mm-hmm. You gotta have something. School records, something that shows that this person lived in your home. Because really, if you think about it, I don't know if any of you have ever tried to do taxes on your own, but it specifically asks, how many months did this individual live with you? That's the key word. How long did they live with you? It's not about if you took care of them. I could take care of somebody who lived across the street, but they didn't live with me. The difference is living in my household.
Gotcha. Okay, for a married couple, do you suggest they... Okay, I'm just going to put my information... my little, I ain't going to go too deep. But okay. Me and my wife.
Okay.
Okay? I have a business, okay. and also had a job, and she has a job.
Okay.
So do you suggest us filing married... together or married filed separately?
It really is going to depend on the income.
Okay.
If you know it's going to put you in a higher deficit, possibly, I probably would not, but I can't really say until I take a look at it. That's something that's individually based.
Yeah, you have to take a look at mine because we've been getting tapped because I don't make no money, but according to the IRS, I do.
And wait. And why did the IRS... Now, see, that's a good example. Why did the IRS say you do?
Because of my salary.
And how did they get that information?
I guess from my W-2.
See, and so what I'm saying is, again, it proves to my point, when people don't file, they already know. They know whether you filed or not. You can't hide it. I told them this last week. People that are 1099 just don't file. Why? Mm-hmm. That EIN that's attached to that, to the company that you contracted with, have already reported it. So you're going to let one day cause you to get all this interest and penalties. Instead of just going to someone, coming to me, we take care of you and you work that out. Even if you owe a little money, so what? Make a payment plan. Why put yourself in a deeper hole?
So with me being a sole proprietor and just say my business, real talk, file separately.
Gotcha.
All right.
I'm coming to you anyway. We're going to talk soon, you know, once we get out this act. Yeah.
You don't want to bury your business.
All right. So, you know, I'm pretty sure you get this question a lot, but when beginning of the year, some people claim one number, then they claim a different number on their W-2s in the middle of the year. What is your suggestion? Is there a limit to claim? Should you just claim a one particular number, or how does that work based on your suggestion?
Well, people claim one or zero so that they can get all their money back. But in theory, you never get all your money back that they take from you.
Oh, withholding. So, I'm
exactly.
Sorry.
You never get all the money that's been withheld from your paycheck. So, I mean, it suggests that you can claim up to 9 or you can file exempt, depending on your circumstance. You can file more exemptions half the year, so it can kind of balance itself out. But when you have a good preparer, all those extra things can be written off. See, that's why they have to call.
They got to call. So yeah. Up to 9.
Give them a number, man. We need the number because they're asking.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, so you can claim up to 9?
Yeah, you can claim up to 9.
I didn't know that.
We just pretty had that discussion.
Yeah, didn't know that. All right, one more question. What happens if you miss the tax filing deadline?
You're going to get a penalty immediately and then compounded interest. So if you have a $1,000 debt that's owed to them, a balance due, it could turn it into $2,000 really easily because of the fact that you're getting compounded interest every single day. It's not like it's once a month. You need to file by the deadline whether you owe or not. Do not miss that at least. People are afraid of that, but don't do that.
I feel you. So that's a 4 or 7 round? What is it?
4.
4, okay. All right, this is the number if you want to call Miss Knight. And you give your own IG cover so they can...
Okay.
470-729-1166.
And you can reach me on Instagram at Secure the Bag Today. at Instagram. You can email me, securethebagtoday@gmail.com.
Hey. Secure the bag.
And let me say this, just to be really clear, I don't want to hear anybody else talking about securing a bag and you don't have insurance. Let's get to that, because when I come back, that's what we're going to be talking about. You're not securing anything if you don't have insurance. Mm-hmm. Because everything you work for will be gone. Literally, if you don't have insurance, you could lose everything for a medical bill that you all of a sudden have to take care of, or an emergency. Now you have nothing to go to. This is March Madness this month, so I'll be back in April. But when I come back, we're going to talk about credit and insurance.
Absolutely. Once again, the phone number, if you're looking on Facebook Live to the SRT page, the banner is up. Z-Money done hooked it up where you can just look.
Get my commercial going.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to give you the number again, 470-729-1166. That's the number to call. Shay Knight, Global 7, please give her a call. Tax, credit, insurance, any kind of financial literacy that you need, give her a call, and you will get an SRT discount. So make sure you use SRT as the code word.
Yes, that, to get 10% off.
10% off any services. So anything you can leave us with as a nugget before we let you get off the air and take that phone call.
I don't even know why it's on vibrate. I don't know why it's ringing. I'm sorry. Just know who you're giving your information to. Let's start with that. I have over 25 years in the business. I pride myself on my reputation. You have to know who you're giving information to these days, because what I'm finding is people are going to companies and they're stealing your information. Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful. You're giving your whole financial makeup to someone and you're relying on them to do good work. So either you research the person you're going to be working with, or if you're going to take a referral, make sure that it's somebody that you trust. You know, get those testimonies from someone that's actually dealt with me.
I can take it from here.
Okay.
SRT tenants.
Yep.
We are the testimony.
Yeah. Yep.
That's all you need to know. When I say call Miss Shay Knight, once again, 470-729-1166.
I'll let y'all know next week after she do my taxes.
Walking testimony. Right. We want to thank you. We appreciate it. We go get together and work this schedule out for April so we can talk about credit, because we definitely got to talk about that, because I already have some questions. They emailed me all week about some credit. I'm like, I don't even do that, man. I mean, can you wait to Wednesday?
I got you guys.
I mean, we got people listening to the show that normally just play the show.
Yeah.
Shout out to the legend Hollywood Robinson tuning in.
Yes, sir. What's up, Hollywood?
Hollywood.
That's all what's right, happening. Guys. We appreciate it.
Yes.
And we go end this by going to commercial, and we go kind of do a little dance while we on commercial break and things of that nature. But when we come back, second hour of the show, we got Deshaun Tate, resident college basketball expert. You already know. You listen to Sports Roundtable, SRTRadio.com on the Real 1100 AM.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Peekville, AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Basketball season is already underway, and even though you're playing, you want to take your game to the next level. That's where the Bo Bell Basketball Academy comes in. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies to help any player maximize their potential. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Maximize your true potential.
We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is James Forrest. When I get my sports fix, I listen to the Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew in the Real 1100 and SRTRadio.com.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T.
Yeah.
Crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. Man with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable. Thanks for tuning in for the first hour of the show. We rock and roll. Second hour of the show is here. 8:06 to be exact. Waiting on our guy to get into the studio. But while he's getting into the studio, we got some other news that we at least want to break to you, because we are local. We are in Atlanta, so we got to bring some Atlanta news to you. The Falcons re-signed Matt Bryant. 3-year deal. Good. You like it?
Oh, yeah, I like it because...
Consistent?
Yeah, he's
consistent.
Anything inside of 50, he's butter.
Yeah, and he was... I'm going to say 35 for 39 in field goals and 35 for 35 in extra points.
And the extra points been moved back.
Exactly.
So that's big.
So consistency is the key.
And he about what, 65?
Close to it.
Yeah.
He 41.
Went to school with Moses.
All right. The Braves spring training is up on us. And if you have heard the name of Ronald Acuna, you are hearing correctly. The number one prospect in the major leagues. The kid for the spring right now is hitting 423. A bomb home run, four RBIs, and has been playing stellar defense. They've had him in left field. They've had him in right field. They talking about maybe not playing him in opening day because of arbitration situations. I mean,
you sure it's not like the way he's wearing his hat? Because that was a big deal for some reason.
Yeah, I think they got that squared away. They just say when you do interviews, they don't want that situation to happen, you know, wearing the hat to the side or whatever. So, but
that's why I hate baseball, man. This is the reason I hate baseball.
And he's a 20-year-old phenom. So the comparisons are to Andrew Jones, of course. And Chipper has signed off on him. So what a player to look forward to. So I can't wait to drive up to old SunTrust Park to see Mr. Acuna.
You better get in the car now.
I know, right? Atlanta United loses their first game of the season. And I think they got a home opener this weekend at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So if you are out traveling this weekend, make sure you check for the traffic, because 66,000 is gonna be sold out. I think they play Washington G.
DC United.
DC United. Same difference. Yeah, so they playing Trump 45 now. So hopefully, you know, they can get a home victory. And Michael Bennett gets traded to the Eagles. You know, so they've had, we was having some conversation about maybe the Falcons trading for him and things of that nature. I was kind of with it, but they had some, I was on Twitter the other day, and I saw some folks saying that they would actually protest if
get the Bible Belt, man.
You know, if they would have traded for Michael Bennett. I mean, you know, to me, it's more of, I mean, can he play? Can he still got something left?
Yeah.
you know, they want to talk about all this other kind of stuff. I'm like, eh.
That's what I kind of alluded to in the beginning of the show, man. This thing has gotten serious now to where the NFL is basically telling you they're not having it this year. They're telling the Dolphins owner came out and said nobody will be kneeling for his team.
Yeah.
Jerry told you last year he wasn't having it.
He wasn't having it.
You know, so you can see the tide turning. Seattle was the organization where you thought if anybody would take that stance and say, well, no, we're going to do what we do here. But you can see Richard Sherman today, I heard, is on the block.
Oh, yeah. He already tweeted out saying that he had a meeting with Seattle.
Yeah, it's over in Seattle. The window is closing.
Oh, the Legion of Boom is dead.
Yeah, the boom is over.
Yeah. So.
And did you see the tweet from the safety today?
Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas. Mm. Earl Thomas put up a tweet today with a book bag on like he was walking out.
Out.
Yeah, like it's over. Like,
well, I told Han last week that they said they taking first round offers from him.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think that Seattle has come to the end to where, you know, that 1 yard changed that whole organization.
Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They have never recovered from throwing that interception on the goal line, and that was the chink in the armor that you had the defense going against the offense.
No, not the offense.
Well, going against Russell.
There you go.
And you know, pretty much going against Pete, them for going with that play because they didn't want Beast Mode to be MVP.
Allegedly.
Well, we can say allegedly, but yeah, that for all the looks, that's what it looked
that's
like.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, I mean, when you look at the whole situation, it all stemmed from that Super Bowl loss. Because you can look back and say that could have been, they could have gone down in history as one of the best defenses of all time. And they still might be mentioned.
Right.
But to win back-to-back Super Bowls in the manner that they were winning them, with that defense, mm-hmm, that would have been something special. And I don't think that defense ever got over it. And to me, that was the straw that really broke the camel's back to me.
Yeah, I agree. Also, Rams trade Ogletree to the Giants.
They traded Ogletree?
Yep, for 2 picks.
For 2 picks.
Are you serious?
Sources say. Let me just.
I'm shocked at that.
Yep.
You know, they already got rid of Robert Quinn.
Wow.
So, hey, it's.
And I heard, is Joyner on the block also? Is he his contract up?
They tagged him.
They tagged him? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Man.
In other baseball news.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Ichiro returns back to Seattle at the age of 56.
You have. E on me is on the scoreboard. The E is flashing.
Oh, he ain't 56? Oh.
No.
Oh.
And
I don't think they know how old he is.
That's my point.
Yeah.
He like one of them Cubans.
Yeah.
He's listed at 44.
Right.
56 might be closer.
Yeah. Right. They don't know how old
he is. And he is the team's all-time hits leader.
Right.
In a bunch of categories, but I do know hits. So he returns back to Seattle. I don't know how much more he can do. Played with the Marlins last year.
You know what more he can do? He can cash CTC. He can cut that check. Yeah. That's all he doing.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. Ichiro. Back Suzuki. In Seattle. Yeah. So, that's crazy. All right. Well, let's go in for the other news.
That was our other news was baseball. You mean we just wasted 6 minutes of time talking baseball? Big H.O., boy, I tell you.
Well, there's also Jerry Jones paid the NFL $2 million.
Yeah, exactly. There you go, D.
Thank you. Let's end it on a good note. Something newsworthy.
Talk about the kicker.
And did you just say a kicker?
You said consistent.
You can tell what he grew up doing.
Hey.
Playing that baseball.
Playing that baseball. You already know. But let's go in for the other news, man. Now it is time to welcome our guy and do this. It is now time for this sports roundtable discussion with our resident guy, Deshaun Tate.
Whoop, whoop. On him. What you got, G?
What up, though? Hold on. Oh, it's down. There you go. We live now.
There you go.
What up, dog?
What up, dog? Yeah.
Hey, man, I got theme music for my dog. We need to start putting on that little baby. That my dog. That my dog. That, because that's the man right there.
How you spell dog down there in Bama?
D-A-W-G.
G.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mr. What Up Doe is in the building.
Mr. What Up Doe.
All right, let's officially get into this roundtable discussion. We got a D, or we're going to rock with it like that. Roundtable discussion.
The roundtable discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it.
Well, he got you going. He got you pumping pretty good.
That's a jam right there.
Bro. He got you pumping pretty good. I see Hassan. What up, baby? All right, so roundtable discussion. We're talking NCAA and NBA. Deshaun Tate's in the building. Let's go ahead and get into it. Fool's gold. It is March. We got 65 teams that are going to be vying for a championship.
Mm-hmm.
And some teams are hot.
Mm-hmm.
Some teams are not. So, in your opinion, who's fool's gold?
A couple of these football programs that's on the basketball court. I don't know if Alabama's going to get in. I'm going to start off with D. Will's team, man. I don't know if Bama going to get in. It would be nice to see him get in, especially get a chance to see Colin, another football school in Oklahoma. It would be great to see Trae Young get out there and showcase some of the things that he had been able to do exceptionally well, especially during the earlier part of the season. Clemson. I think Clemson is fool's gold. Ohio State is fool's gold. Mm. Purdue is another one.
Mm.
Auburn is another one.
Oh, he going down to
Florida. Florida's another one. You got quite a few, man. I think it's fool's gold. This is going to be the year where I think some of those mid-major teams can do a little bit more than maybe get past, you know, the first round or what technically is called the second round now, but maybe make it to the Sweet 16 more than just maybe one team like Florida Gulf Coast did a few years ago and things of that nature, man. So it should be really interesting, man. We got a boatload of mid-major teams that I think can really make a deep run in this thing, man. So I think that's going to be interesting. Every year they talk about, you know, like I've been saying, 10 to 12 teams that can win this whole thing. And I think that there's a lot of teams that can potentially make it to the Final Four, but not necessarily so much when you start talking about coaches standing on top of the ladder with the confetti coming down and cutting down nets.
All right, two things that we can talk about, headline stories. Azubuike sideline will miss the Big 12 tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And Missouri reports that Porter is planning on a return Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So your thoughts on Azubuike missing the tournament and what does that do for Kansas? And your thoughts on Porter actually coming back to play?
Well, I initially thought that by Azubuike missing out, how much that's going to hurt Kansas because they really don't have another reliable front court player. And they still don't. I know that a guy by the name of Sylvia D'Souza just kind of came up and reclassified within the last, not even 10 games now. But he's not ready for that level, especially to be the only one, because he wasn't even ready when it was just him and Azubuike alone. So he doesn't necessarily have that experience. But Azubuike is their only dominant low post threat. And which it's not like I thought that Kansas was about to contend for. I think they can contend, obviously, for a conference tournament crown, but that's not their thing. They won regular season championships, and they got that. And when you look at their history as a conference tournament, they typically lose early and start preparing for the real tournament.
Right.
On second thought of that, you know, losing Azubuike might help a little bit more because he is a liability on the free throw line, as we've seen, especially in tight games where,
that boy
is shooting worse than Shaq. He can kick. If you need somebody to go off somebody, if you need a shooter, if you need a personal shooter, go hire that man and tell him to throw a basketball at your worst enemy. Because, I mean, dude, he's breaking the glass on them free throws. And I like him. I like him as a player. He's definitely grown on me quite a bit. He's very raw and can use more offensive skills. But I had a chance to see him in person, man, when I was in Chicago. And that's a big dude. I mean, we're talking about 7 feet, doggone near 300 pounds almost. And that's muscle. We ain't talking about a ton of fat.
Right.
But because of the fact that he's a liability for them from the free throw line, from the charity stripe, and that can actually help them win some games by more of a significant amount than he's in the game. Now, as far as Michael Porter Jr. goes, I think that's the silliest thing that I've ever seen. That's a huge mistake. You're taking a risk and taking a chance on getting injured so that you can do what? You're not going to win a national championship. You're probably not going to win the conference tournament. And your stock isn't going to get any higher than it already is. So my question is,
why?
Why?
Who is his daddy? Well, who is your daddy?
The assistant coach.
Yeah, exactly. That's why he's playing.
The assistant coach. Yeah, so, but that's just my thoughts on Michael Porter. It'll be good to see him play, though. I mean, just from a personal perspective. But outside of that, I don't really see a ton of reasons to even, you know, get out there and try to compete, showcase what you got. I mean, if he goes out there and has, I don't know, let's just say 30-12 or 30-15, it's not going to change our minds about him or anything like that, but it will give GMs a little bit more idea as to what he can do in game situations outside of waiting until the combine and running around cones and all that. And in which, even in that, he might not even participate because he's such a high pick.
Now, going back to the Kansas thing, this could actually open the door for Oklahoma to win the tournament. If possible, and that would obviously get them in the tournament.
Say that one more time.
With Kansas missing Azubuika, it kind of opens up the door for Oklahoma to win the tournament, and they can possibly get in.
Well, it opens up the door for Oklahoma to win the tournament, but it opens up the door for West Virginia, Texas Tech, Baylor, everybody else that's participating in it.
Right.
But if I'm Oklahoma, first things first, and I haven't even got a score update. Hopefully somebody can update me pretty soon. At Tate's Take Sports on the Instagram somewhere. But, you know, they've got their hands full with Bedlam.
They lose.
With Okie State. What's the score on that?
Yeah, they're losing by 10, 50 to 40.
It's crazy to think that because we have a potential player
52,
of the year.
52.
We got a potential.
43.
We got a potential player of the year that. Yeah, how much time is left?
11:34.
11 and some change. It's still enough time, especially when you got a shooter like Trey. But I would just say that it'll be bad for basketball for the NCAA tournament for them not to be able to get in.
Yep.
I mean, Markelle Fultz didn't get in last year. Ben Simmons the year before that. But in the end, I mean, for a guy like Trey, and I know Trey personally, that, you know, just the type of kid that he is, it's kind of unfortunate because he's been kind of running to the ground. And defenses has prepared for him a lot differently. And I constantly want to emphasize, put some re-emphasis on this, that he's not the point guard of Duke, Kansas, or Kentucky. Like, he has guys on his team that are not going to see an NBA floor. He has to make everything look that good. Like, he has to do every single thing. Distribute, shoot it well, penetrate. I mean, you name it. What he's been able to do so far, and this is why I tell people who are not really big advocates of Trae Young and turnovers and whatever, what have you, is that let's enjoy what Trae Young has done already, not just what he's doing. So much pressure has been put on this kid that wasn't even expected to be a first-round lottery, a first-round pick in some cases. I like Trae, man. I just think it's an unfortunate situation for him, but not so unfortunate because in the next couple months, man, he's about to be making a lot of money. So.
Absolutely. And Georgia is beating Vanderbilt 61-36.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, so you say this is the class.
Uh-huh.
Give me your all-freshman team and your freshman of the year.
Wow, without even researching. I had plenty of time, but I didn't do it. It's definitely Trey, Marvin Bagley. I hope I'm not going to leave nobody out. Probably Colin Sexton in that conversation. DeAndre Ayton for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to I'm trying to think of another one. But
how about Wendell Carter?
No, I can't go Wendell on this one. He's been overshadowed, man, by the Bagman.
The Bagman was out, though. Didn't he turn his game up?
He did because he had to, but he wasn't going out there putting up Bagley numbers either, though, you know?
True.
And that's just a guy that's going to bring his hard hat, his construction hat, and lunch pail to work every day. You know what you're going to get out of him, and he's going to work hard, and he's just Al Horford all over again to me.
So all those guys you called, are they top 15 picks?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
So that's Carter. What about, okay, how many out of Duke's team is going to be top 15? Because you got three that I'm looking at.
Top 15
that I said going to go. How do you think they go?
I think definitely Carter is a top 15 pick, and Bagley's a top 15 pick. I don't Trayvon Duval.
No, I don't even.
I know where you going with it.
I'm talking about the other
Grayson Allen.
Gary Trent.
No, Gary Trent Jr. I don't think Gary Trent is the top 15. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see him go that high. I think after 8 or 9, there's a little bit of a drop-off, so it wouldn't surprise me to see him go. We started to talk about what team needs are, and in the NBA right now, it's about the ability to shoot and what they need in the league right now, and he can do that if can't nobody else do it. So I think he'll be borderline, though. Trent is at least a good 6'5". 6'4", 6'5". He can shoot. I mean, he's pretty good. Don't get me wrong.
He can't put it on the floor at all. And that's a concern to me on the next level. And y'all know when I project to the next level, it's just not what's your specialty. What can you do to get your specialty off? And that's been my knock on Trae Young. We know what his specialty is, but on that next level, is he going to be able to really get his specialty off?
Well,
let me ask you go before
ahead.
You go.
Sure.
What do we always say about the NBA being what a copycat league? And that's the thing with the success that Houston is having. By putting shooters around a lot of people, he won't have to put it on the floor as much.
But I understand what you're saying. But Houston has people who do put it on the floor that get those shooters in place.
But that's what I'm saying. He has to go somewhere where somebody will get him. But what I'm saying is he won't be looked upon to do that. To break down a defense or
whatever.
He's
going to have to.
He's got to space the floor.
He's not going to be a catch and shoot shooter in the NBA. I don't see that. Not at 6 feet. Not at 6 feet.
Talking about Trent.
6'5"?
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about Trent. I'm talking about Trent.
Oh, well, Trent, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about. Not Trae Young. Yeah. No, Trae Young's point guard. I'm talking about Trent, Gary Trent Jr. At 6'5", can shoot it, space the floor. That's what I'm talking about.
My point is, I put him in the mold of a Devin Booker.
But
Devin Booker could put the ball on the floor to get his own.
But he didn't show that a lot at Kentucky until later. I mean, he didn't show that at Kentucky at all.
He didn't have to. He was surrounded by a lot. But I don't believe – have you seen that in him? I saw it in Devin Booker.
I've seen Trent shoot it.
I don't think
he – I haven't seen every game.
Here's the thing, though.
He can shoot it, but I'm just talking about the other aspect.
I've seen it.
When it comes to Trent, and not just Trent, but more than just him, sometimes you're in the shadow of the program that you're playing in within the system. And that's probably why we see so many guys that end up being better NBA players than they do college players.
Good point.
And he could be one of those players. I'd like to see it. I'm not sure if it will happen, but I think that Trayvon Duval might also be in that same conversation.
He's going to be better than Trent, in my opinion, in the league.
Trayvon Duval?
Yes.
And he should be.
But they don't keep score?
What you mean?
They gonna stop keeping score?
Nah, he plays a position.
Oh, okay.
Stop hating on that
I'm
man.
I'm just saying, man.
Well, this is the thing. You got to think about this. To your point, it's hard for anybody to penetrate or put it on the floor.
This is skewed.
Right? You got a 6'11" and a 6'10" that's clogging the middle.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
When Bagley was out. Look at Trent numbers and look at Grayson numbers going to the cup then. And I'm not saying that he's an All-American putting it on the floor. But if his specialty is shooting and if Houston drafted him, then hey.
Not just Houston. There's some shooting teams.
Well, yeah. I mean, Denver.
Yeah. LeBron needs some shooting. I mean, seriously.
I agree.
Y'all stock way higher on him than mine.
I didn't say where you're gonna get drafted.
With the size that he has, if he's a legit 6'5", and the way that I've seen him shoot the ball, that's NBA prospects.
I think that Trent is a legitimate first
rounder. There we go.
I mean, when we start talking lottery, I think that it's
we ain't saying nothing different.
I think he's a lottery pick.
That's what he is.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I think when we start talking lottery, I think he's borderline.
Right.
He said top 15. So,
but pending on teams' needs and how, you know, I mean, let's talk. The elephant in the room here is that we know that GMs make really stupid decisions.
Horrible.
When it comes to, and we're going to find out on that as well with whoever picks Luka Doncic. Let's start there. I just hope it ain't my team. Well, we done got our Miller chick out the
Everybody's
way already.
Everybody's looking for that unicorn.
They looking for Dirk Nowitzki.
Dirk or Porzingis. Everybody trying to find one.
I agree. All right, what conference gets the most teams in?
ACC.
Easy.
ACC is going to probably get the most teams in. Yeah,
10, 11.
NC
State just lost to Boston College.
That's quite a bit, yeah. Well, and NC State lost to Boston College, and they still might get a bid. However,
they're going to get a bid.
Louisville's and they're improving on their stock as well. And if they beat Virginia, they're definitely a lock. I mean, right now I think they're in, but they can be no questions asked if they beat the number one team in the country. But in terms of the ACC, I'm not – man, dude, I was looking at Syracuse. I was looking at Syracuse being on the bubble again, 20-12 overall, 8-10, so they're below 500 in the ACC. Okay, they're 305th. There's only 351 teams in Division I. They're 305th ranked at 68 points per game when it comes to scoring. Now, to benefit them, the defense and the zone, they allow 64 points per game, in which, you know, you got to give credit to somebody who doesn't ever come out of that zone, which will probably be their Achilles heel as well. But they don't share the ball very well either. They rank 323rd in that. But when you lose to the bottom of the barrel in the ACC the way that they have at Wake Forest, okay, versus Notre Dame without Bonzi Colson and Matt Farrell, who everybody seemed to beat up on them. They lost to them without those guys, okay? A loss at Georgia Tech, another team that's not in it anymore either. Mm. A loss against Boston College, we don't look so bad. Now, granted, the thing that helps them out a lot is their strength of schedule at 11, but that you still are Syracuse and you're still losing games. Against the top 25 teams in the country, they went 2-6. And the teams between ranked between 51 and 100, they went 50% on that. 500 exactly, 3-3. They're 6-6 in their last 12 games. I don't see it. I just really don't. If they steal an at-large bid some way, somehow, there's going to be a really disappointed team out there that really feels that, you know, we ran our conference. I don't know if this will be MTSU or someone like that, but we pretty much, for the most part, ran our whole conference and then got to the conference tournament, lost where you only get one bid out of that mid-major conference, and then didn't get in because somebody like Syracuse. That'll be the most disappointing thing.
Can I ask you one? You talked about the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to Sparty?
What happened to him? Sparty was outmatched, man. Sparty got punked. Sparty got punched in the mouth. It was bad matchup from the first time they played him. And Izzo also got outcoached. The players got outplayed. I mean, dude, Michigan is a good team. I've heard some people start talking about Final Four, and I'm like, you know what? Y'all going to call me a Wolverine hater, in which I am. However, I have to be even about it. I can't be biased about it, man. Like, they got the number. And if there's anybody that I don't want to play in the tournament that's not named Duke, it is probably the Michigan Wolverines, because they've shown and proved. Of course, Villanova's another one of those teams, but those are the three teams, if I'm Sparty, I don't want to see. But, I mean, it's March, so all that, you know, this is championship or bust. This isn't a make it to the Final Four again and get spoiled because, like, oh, we made it to the Final Four. Yeah, well, that means you've been to the Final Four 8 times if you go this year and you only cut down nets 1 time. So you're starting to look like the Buffalo Bills of college basketball at some point. But Michigan State fans have gotten spoiled by Tom Izzo's success in the month of March. And just everything that they've been able to do as a program around this time of the year, and your expectations are so high. But Izzo ain't getting no sleep, man. He's still got a lot of stuff going. I mean, he's still got a whole lot that they dragging. So either the team is either going to put that on their back and use that as their inspiration and motivation and make a run at cutting down the nets. But anything short of that, I mean, you can't go to the national championship game and lose. You have to be the one cutting down the nets. If not, because I think there's really only a select amount of teams that has to go to the national championship and win the whole thing. Duke is one of them with their talented roster. Kansas is another one who's an elite program of all of college basketball and all the good stuff that goes along historically with them, but they haven't won a national title in 10 years. Michigan State is another one. So you got a few of them, man. But it's going to be interesting to see. And Sparty's got their hands full for sure.
What team out of the West do you have any respect for? Maybe it's Arizona. Whom do you see out there?
Arizona's going to be dangerous. No matter how you look at it. My concern with them is, was it Jackson Cartwright? I can't think of the name, but I know his last name is hyphenated Jackson Cartwright. But that's a concern for me. But when you got a beast in the middle and you got Raleigh Aikens, Hawkins, and you got Trier, if he can get himself together, they're going to be a tough out. But the team to talk about, and I want people who listening and watching to this is a free space on the bingo card. You're talking about a team out west, you can scratch Gonzaga, man. Nevada is that team.
Nevada
is that team. Believe that.
So far, there have been some conference tournament winners. We see some buzzer beaters already. I think, what is it, Radford.
Yeah.
Out of those teams that's already punched their ticket, which team do you see as making some noise?
Of the ones that punched?
Of the ones that's punched already.
When you say making some noise, because I like to clarify.
Right. Yeah, let's please clarify.
I like to clarify.
Past the first weekend.
That's winning two games, you mean?
Yeah.
Ooh. To get out of the first weekend, obviously Michigan. I mean, they punched already.
Now I'm talking about some of
the mid-major programs.
They happened to just play it a week earlier.
Who was that beat Florida Gulf Coast?
Lipscomb. Yeah.
I watched them play.
Yeah,
not gonna happen.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I'm not buying that.
Not gonna happen.
I'm selling that.
What I was gonna ask you: were you surprised that they beat them at Florida Gulf Coast?
I was.
Especially when you let, I couldn't believe it.
When you let one guy go for 34, the kid from here,
another kid went for 30
and went 37.
Yeah.
That's
tough.
And you were up 32 points.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's tough.
They made a run at me. I almost got him.
They almost got him.
They did. And I expected them to be ones that can make some noise, but.
MTSU?
Mid-major, we talking about? Because MTSU, they haven't finished out their conference tournament, if I'm not mistaken. This seems kind of unfair because it's like a gimme, but Gonzaga?
Yeah.
We don't even look at them when come tournament time as being a mid-major.
Outside of that,
they're 20 years straight in the tournament.
I'm going to be honest, man. Between Lipscomb, Radford, College of Charleston, Wright State, Iona, LIU Brooklyn, Murray State, UNC Greensboro, who has a very good team as well as South Dakota State does per usual.
South Dakota State.
I don't really see any of those teams seriously winning two games. Now winning one, we might be having a different conversation. But maybe a team that beat Florida already earlier in the season, man, that's Loyola Chicago. If I had to go with one, you put a bullet to my head and I can't say Michigan, I can't say Gonzaga, then it'll probably be Loyola Chicago or maybe Greensboro.
Okay.
You told me I think last week Kentucky was definitely in. You still think so?
Oh, yeah. Kentucky's in. Kentucky's going to make a run at this four.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Dude, really? just win four games? As easy as we've seen Kentucky lose four games in a row this year, I don't doubt that Kentucky. Think about how wide open this thing is. I mean, you think about Michigan State just took an L after winning 12 straight that nobody really, really seen coming unless you're from the Great Lakes State. And then Villanova lost like two of their last four or two of their last five or whatever. I'm not sure a whole lot of people are putting a whole lot of stock and belief in Virginia.
But how can you have any stock? I watched Kentucky play. What about them gives you that?
Yeah, talent
and
size. Talent and size. My biggest question for Kentucky is the guard play between Hamidou Diallo and Kwade Green. If they can put it together between those two, I get this guy Shai Gilgeous Alexander. He's pretty good. I don't know about NBA good, but he is pretty good, so I'll give him credit. However, they're going to need a little bit more than that. Like, those are going to be the guys going to have to play. And then Jared Vanderbilt is out for right now as well, momentarily and definitely. So, but they still have more than enough bigs. And Calipari can get some guys rolling and get them rolling fast. Like, I haven't seen a Kentucky team look this bad since the one in 2013.
That's what I'm saying. I just don't
coming
see
at,
it.
Coming right off of the national championship year, they ended up losing in the first round of the NIT to Robert Morris.
Right.
And Kentucky, if Kentucky makes it to the Final Four, they can't necessarily, you know, have a parade either. They have to cut down the nets, too, because they're on the clock as well. Like, they've left a lot of national championships on the table. When they had Wall and Cousins in 2010 and lost to West Virginia, 2011, they lost to, I think, Kemba Walker's team, which that was the—
Can't doubt them for that, though.
That was the most disgusting Final Four ever, but that was their team with Brandon Knight and some of those guys. Mm-hmm. They won in 2012. 2013, we just talked about the NIT loss to Robert Morris. And then you got 2014 where they left another one on the table. They was an 8th seed, so they wasn't as good with Julius Randle, but they lost to UConn yet again with Shabazz Napier and Ryan Boatwright. 2015, that's probably the biggest one they left on the table when they went 38 in a goose egg.
Yep.
And then, of course, you got, what was it? What was last year?
Hold on. 16, whatever. We were waiting on them in 15.
Yeah, you was waiting.
We were waiting on them in 15.
Yeah, you was
waiting. We were pulling for the blue.
Yeah, I know.
I know. I see your face over there.
You a big Blue Nation guy? I didn't know.
Nah.
I'm gonna go out on a limb.
But Duke did it. Duke went out and did something that Duke has been going out to do, something that Kentucky has not been able to do. But the thing, like we was talking last week, like the crazy and maybe ridiculously disgusting or however disappointing, however you want to look at it, thing is that at a school like Kentucky with the prestige of their program that only hangs national championship banners. Dude, if anybody else at Kentucky besides Calipari would have done or left as much on the table as he has, they would have gotten fired already. Yeah. Gillespie, all those
Tubby
guys.
Smith.
But the reason that they're hanging on is because in this era of college basketball, landing big name recruits is bigger than winning national championships. That's what's keeping your job.
So let me
ask you this question real quick. Tubby Smith had a rant. Mm-hmm. Now they're talking about letting him go, bringing Penny in.
Sure.
Your thoughts on the rejuvenation of his hometown?
They've been working on Penny for a long time, dude.
Yeah.
I don't think that Tubby was the guy for that job. I don't know if Penny is the guy, but I say give him a chance. I mean, he's a Memphis or Memphis State then product, and let's just give him a chance to see what he can do. I mean, he's done some great things with Team Penny and AAU,
right,
as well as at Memphis Eastern High School. And he can land recruits. I mean, he's going to get guys to stay home. Guys stay home. Guys from Memphis typically stay home anyway to go to Memphis.
You bring Todd Day in as an assistant?
Why not? He's been Penny's replacement for AAU. And I know that that's a little bit of a different kind of conversation.
Right,
but
right.
I don't see why not. I mean, if we're talking about landing recruits.
That's what I'm saying.
Heck yeah.
Well, does Tubby come back home and coach at UGA then?
I don't think that would be a good hire either.
Better not.
I think he's past his time. I think Tubby is kind of past his time, man.
But I'm gonna tell you before we finna pull that whip out and spank Tubby. But the premise of what he said was legit. It was over 800 transfers last year. Yep. That's a lot of people transferring schools.
Yeah.
Because, and he probably used a poor choice of words by using the word quit, because you know how in our field in the media, one word throws off the entire statement. Okay? And he used the word quit. But in actuality, that's what they're doing. If you, I'm going to throw it to another sport. It's the Blake Barnett. You don't cut it, you dip. That's quitting. That's basically what that is. And a lot of players are doing that nowadays. Exactly. And a lot of people try to say, oh, well, he's a coach. He's been to different stops. That's a job. Are these kids getting paid to play college basketball? That's the big thing now. No, they're not getting paid. So they shouldn't have the freedom that a coach has.
My thing on that, though, D, is they have a limited amount of time to make their bones, because that next high school kid is coming.
Yep.
And they have to go where they can play.
That's right.
Because if their scholarships aren't guaranteed.
Quit.
If you're not going to play and they're going to take your, they can take your scholarship.
Now, that's a different thing. If they take your scholarship, you ain't there no way.
But that's what I'm saying.
So they're not, transferring. But, they're kicking you out.
But the only thing that's held accountable when we talk about the NCAA is the product. Nothing in the AD is held accountable. Mm. No coach is held accountable. The boosters aren't held accountable. Nothing about the NCAA is held accountable but the kids. Kids, no, you have to stay here. It doesn't make sense. They don't get paid. They don't do anything but make money for the NCAA, but they have all the rules.
See, that's
that
a
hurt
different
them.
Conversation, though.
But it's still
that's
the same
convoluting
thing.
The conversation.
But we're talking about them leaving a program.
Exactly, quitting.
Right. So to have a choice to say, I'm going over here to play. This is the same thing that you talk about the NBA when free agency started, if it wasn't for Kurt Flood, they'd still be staying at that place the whole time. No matter what, you were that property of that baseball team or that football team. There was no free agency. True. And then times, it's a change. If everybody's getting paid, if everybody can better themselves in some way except the athlete that makes all the money for the institution, something wrong.
Well, here's the thing. It's not an issue. Over 800 transfers happened, so they're doing it. They're having issues with having to sit out. I think the only
why
reason
should they have to sit out?
Because here's my opinion. The only way you should not have to sit out if your coach leaves or if your coach is fired. So the team that recruited you to come to that school.
So that's
leaves,
just a one-way street. So
that's it.
But so the coach, no matter what, can go and better himself.
He's getting paid, isn't he? Is he getting paid? That's the difference. They're not getting paid.
So if I'm not getting paid, why I got to stay? And why I got to wait
to
play?
If the coach leaves.
If the coach leaves,
you should be able to leave without penalty. That's
right,
my point.
But what I'm saying is, I don't care what he's doing. If I can better myself playing
it's not
somewhere
an open market,
else.
Man. It's not, yeah. This is not the NBA.
What you were going to say?
Well,
I just think they'll be able to go, man.
I had to stop D. Will when he said that these guys ain't getting paid. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you know what I'm technically.
I know what you're saying.
Technically.
I know what you're saying. But I think there was an issue with something similar to that with Braxton Beverly at NC State, the point guard who originally committed to Ohio State, enrolled in classes. Can't remember if he went or participated in these classes or not, but when Thad Mata left, he pulled and went to NC State, and then the NCAA tried to prevent him from being able to play.
That's whack.
In which I definitely agree on that as well, but he's playing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I definitely understand what Han is saying as well, just because of the simple fact that, you know, you got to cut it. Some of these programs, you got to cut it in your very first year. Because at Kentucky, and it's coming up now, at Duke, it doesn't matter.
If you got to go.
Trayvon Duval, whether he's ready to come out and go to the league or transfer or whatever the case may be, there's another kid named Tyus Jones who got basketball blood running through those veins and through that family, that pipeline.
His name is Trey.
And cut down the national championship net that you better believe. And he plays just like so. I mean, there's going to be pressure coming up either way. I feel you. If the coaches can transfer, the players should be able to transfer. However, at Kentucky, one of those maybe rare schools that, and it's tending, a lot of other schools are tending to kind of follow suit the same way that they are, including Duke, is that if you're not bringing it in that first year, dude, you're going to get overshadowed. And that's the reason why Calipari advises these guys to either transfer or leave.
And the other thing about this D,
Kyle Wilcher,
he can go and play at a lower division right away.
Who's going to do that, though?
But that's what I'm saying. So if he can go play, why can't he go play at a regular division?
I'm going to tell you why. Before you go, I got to rebuttal.
Go
that.
Ahead.
Because the reason is, you're teaching quitting. So if I don't play, I'm leaving. So that means it's just going to be kids like, man, I ain't happy. I'm gone. So what are we even doing here? What are you even teaching? What's the point of even going if you could just pick up and leave when things aren't going your way? That's not life,
that's
man.
That's decisions. We all make decisions that don't
pan
out.
Let me ask you this,
you make a decision to do something each day. If it doesn't work out, I'm not going to continue to do that. And then right now, his livelihood about basketball. If he has a dream about playing somewhere,
he needs to go. I think
all the situations are kind of different. But go ahead and say what you want to ask.
Can we transfer jobs if we want to?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm getting paid.
Right, but either way, like you were saying, even if you're not getting paid, should you not be able to back out of something and make a different decision in life?
Depends on why. You shouldn't just be like, I'm not getting playing time, I'm leaving.
Like Derrick Thornton. Duke wanted him. He left. We didn't say you're not going to play. We told you you're going to be a point guard.
So you jilted because he don't want to be. It's like a
girl. I'm not saying you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying the institution. I'm mad that you don't want to play for me, so I'm not letting you play nowhere else. It makes no sense.
Well, I'm not talking about – I mean, I'm talking about the reason why they
that.
Would
– we see coaches
the reason
say
why
you
they
play.
Would leave could just be I didn't think – I don't think my son is getting enough time. But at this program, the way that we run our program is that by the time you're at this age, I'm going to teach you and you're going to be there. But I don't want to wait that long, so I'm going to leave.
At your program, they might do that. But what's happening when they recruiting that kid?
Oh, I agree.
What they telling that kid?
Oh, at Duke, they telling him the same thing that I just said.
They might be at Duke.
Right.
But for every other program, what do you think they're saying to the kid?
Watch your words.
And what are they saying to
watch your words.
What are they saying?
I'm going to come at you on them.
I'm just saying, what are they saying to the kids?
Oh, I agree.
That you are the best thing since sliced bread. Yep. And the same thing happened with me, and this is just a smaller thing.
And that's the issue I have with it from the beginning.
And guess
that's
what?
That's my problem right
there. And guess what?
We're teaching them to quit.
And this is the thing. I went to school, and this is what the coach told me after I got on campus. Everything I told you and your godmother and your mom in your house, it was a lie.
Thank you. My coach told me the same thing.
It was a lie. It was just to get you there.
I wanted to get you to sign there. And I signed.
So my thing is,
ignorantly,
you got to vet better, have a better vetting process.
Listen, you need to know your worth, for one. Why go to Kentucky if you know you're going to be sitting the bench the next year somebody else comes up?
Why not just go ahead
and go mid-major?
I just don't think that's the right thing to hold a kid accountable when you don't hold anybody else in the whole NCAA organization accountable.
Oh, I agree with that.
It depends on the situation.
But nobody's held accountable. Nobody except the athlete.
I don't agree with that.
What? Tell me somebody else that is.
Because they're able to transfer. Over 800 kids transferred. But you just got to. Now, it's certain circumstances.
Hold on. Every time you say but, that means it ain't
certain circumstances.
When you say but, then it ain't the same.
It is the same.
Well, a coach don't. When a coach go there and he has a new contract, he don't have to say, well, I got to give up 10% of this contract because I'm transferring.
Well, they do have to pay back buyouts.
I'm talking about the
buyouts do have to get paid out.
Well, that school buys him out, but they don't do nothing with that contract that he's signing.
What is the school? When you
that didn't have nothing to do with me, though.
Well, when the kid transfers, what do they give up?
That has nothing to do with the coach. The coach does not have to give up any money. They buy him out. They'll buy him out, and he gets a new contract.
Okay, so what did the kid have to
give
up?
Am I right or wrong?
What does the kid have to give up?
If this kid is going from one place to work or play for free, then why can't he go to another institution to work or play
for free?
That don't make sense.
We're going to have to take it off air because I think it's apples and oranges at this point.
Yes, really. We're convoluting it.
Go ahead and real quick, give me your final four as of right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Did he cut it out?
Yeah, you did.
G thought he was gone.
Check, mic check. Okay, let's do it like this then. That's how we're going to do it. Let's go. It's going to be a really weird year. Let's go Michigan State, Villanova, Arizona, and Cincinnati.
Give me my mic back.
No, wait. I'm sorry. That's fair. Because I do believe that Duke will make it in. So let's do it like this. Let's go West Virginia, Duke, Michigan State, and Villanova.
That's fair.
Man, don't coddle him, man.
Ball on. Watch out for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Watch out for West Virginia. Those are my sleepers. I really, really, I like Cincinnati. Some programs can coach and have a program, and this is what we're talking about. We're going to take it off air, and they don't have to have the superstar, the five stars. In Cincinnati, I can guarantee you, we can't name five players. You can.
I can too.
Five players on Cincinnati team.
Mick Cronin does his thing, man.
Exactly.
Give him his props.
You see what I'm saying? So you understand already, when you go to that program, you know you're going to do your thing.
Nick Van Exel.
Exactly. Herbert Jones.
That's his thing, telling you can't name nobody.
All right, man, we got to get up out of here. We want to thank Say Knight for coming through. Thank Deshaun Tate for doing his thing.
Hey, that was hot today, Mark. You gave it to
us. We want to thank the SRT Tennis on Facebook Live for listening in and looking in. And doing y'all thing. And, man, catch us tomorrow morning from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on 1100 AMG. Make sure they haven't called.
Yeah, they don't know what they had on last week.
Exactly. All right, Deshaun, your shout-outs real quick.
Everybody on social media, man. Facebook, everybody represent SRT, Tate's Take, Instagram, the whole nine, my mom's, whoever's been praying for me, just the whole nine, man, just all the above. Appreciate y'all.
All right, Han, real quick.
Hey, quick shout out to Boogie. I didn't mention him on his birthday last week.
Oh.
And my oldest son, Peter. Steven. So happy birthday to you both.
There you go.
Y'all are a day apart. 25 years.
Shout out to my mom and dad who listen every week. And if you are a night owl or an early riser, we are also on Sunday morning at 4 a.m.
Really?
Hey.
Oh, we got to set my alarm clock.
I'll be up.
Set your alarm clock, Tate. Listen to yourself. All right, real quick, D. Will.
Oh, man, shout out to the wifey in there holding it down, looking real good, flicking me off, but it's all G. man, shout out to the crew. Shout out everybody on Facebook Live. And Tate gone smile. I got Sparty winning it all.
There it is. Yeah, you must have gave him a t-shirt or something. Hey, before we go, SRT clothing. Be on the lookout. We got some fire coming. Trust and believe.
We're going to be selling it on Real Talk Tees, thatbigcartel.com.
Absolutely. And if you don't like it, you better learn to love it because it's the hottest show going today. Hand, let's roll.
Boogie! I'm headed home, baby.
They call me coach because I teach you how to ball.
It's your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
Trump, Stormy Daniels got that one. Done it.
Here we are.
Boy, stop.